Good morning, everyone. Today's reading is taken from Psalm 1. Blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So today we're beginning a four-part series on the Psalms. The Psalms are the prayer book of the Bible. And we start with Psalm 1, which is unique among all the Psalms because it is, in fact, not a prayer. Instead, it's like a map that you see when you walk into a shopping centre or an airport that says, "You are here." If you want to know how to navigate through the building before you study this map. And that's what Psalm 1 does for the rest of the Psalms. It explains how the rest of the Psalms work. This Psalm is often referred to as the two ways because it outlines two different paths that a person can follow throughout their life: the way of righteousness and the way of the wicked. Those who walk in the way of righteousness will flourish, and those who walk in the way of wickedness will flounder. But who really are we talking about? Can you think of someone you know that is definitely wicked? Can you point to someone who, without a shadow of a doubt, is just plain wicked? In the same way, can you think of someone who is righteous? Someone who never does anything wrong? Someone who is a living saint? Maybe it's easy to think of someone as righteous, but we're not used to thinking of people in those categories. We need to be clear about who we are talking about. When the Psalm talks about the wicked, and when the Bible in general talks about the wicked, it's not necessarily talking about a caricature of someone who goes about popping balloons or kicking cats or scratching cars, although a wicked person may in fact do some of those things. The wicked aren't just those who are guilty of sin, because all of us are touched by any sin. The wicked describes those people who are on different paths altogether. They're not reading the map. Instead, they've tossed the map aside and went out on their own. The wicked are people who are autonomous people who create their own moral code. They are those who do what is right in their own eyes. Like it says in the book of Job, chapter 21, verse 14, the wicked say to God, "Leave us alone. We do not desire to know your ways." The wicked are those who choose their own path, who determine what is right and what is wrong by means of their own judgment and refuse to be guided by the wisdom of God. They've struck out on their own and drawn their own map of what's right and wrong. And in Psalm 1, we get a clear picture of where that path leads. Scripture consistently states that there is only one path to an abundant life, and that is a life lived in obedience to the will of God. So when a person leaves that path, they will leave the true way of life. Such a person becomes, as verse 4 says, like chaff blown away by the wind. Chaff is the papery stuff around the seed that a farmer wants to get rid of to enjoy the harvest. So they would throw the seed up in the air so that the wind can carry away the useless as the seed falls back to the ground. The wicked are described as chaff, lightweights, persons without real substance and worth. Psalm 1 says that the wicked will not stand in the judgment, and the way of the wicked will perish. In other words, Psalm 1 says that when you walk off the map outlined in the Bible, the result is you dry up and are blown away. But what about the righteous? They are initially defined in verse 1 by how they don't walk, stand, or sit. They don't walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of the sinners, or sit in the seat of the scoffers. Their community isn't defined by those who scoff at the law of God. Instead, the righteous orient their life around the will of God. That doesn't mean a righteous person never sins or screws up. Rather, a righteous person is defined by the path they're walking. That's why King David isn't thought of as a wicked king, even though he did some wicked things. He was capable of horrendous decisions. He committed adultery and then had his lover's husband killed to escape being found out. He stumbled violently off the path, but God pulled him back onto the path. David confessed. David repented and once again made his heart steadfast to walk in the way of God. That's why David was called a man after God's own heart. The righteous are those who, when they stumble off the path, let God help them find their way again. They know that God's way is the only way to life. That's why the righteous are depicted as a tree rooted along a stream of water, which yields its fruit in season. Their leaves do not wither, and whatever they do prospers. The pathway of righteous is the only path to life. This psalm is a proclamation that the only way to the good life is by following the path which God sets out for us. That person will be blessed. That doesn't mean such a person will be happy, as some versions start, verse 1. So Psalm 1 starts out with the idea that those who delight in the will of God are like trees planted within reach of life-giving water. They are fruitful. Whereas the wicked are like chaff who are blown away in the wind. And that sets out the basic framework for all of the Psalms as well as the Bible. God blesses the righteous and the wicked wither away. But as we know, life doesn't always seem to work out that way. The writers of Scripture were not embarrassed to admit that things don't always work out that way. Sometimes those who abandon God's will seem to be doing really, really well. And those who set their eyes on the Lord seem to be doing terribly. Sometimes it seems that the life-giving stream that the righteous were planted by suddenly rose about 10 feet or more and just washed out the ground beneath them, as happened in Belgium, Western Germany, India and Henan Province, China, with little prior warning recently. The writers of Scripture, the psalmists, were not at all afraid to recognise this grim reality. That's why the Lament Psalms were written, which are about a quarter of all the psalms. The writers of those psalms invite us to live in the difficult tension between realism and hope. Take, for example, Psalm 13, where the psalmist cries out, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever?" Implicit in that cry and the whole psalm is, "This is not the way it should be. Why should the enemy prevail while I be shaken? Why should the wicked prosper while the righteous are besieged from all sides?" It is a cry from the heart that the world as outlined in Psalm 1 is not as it should be. But after all this doom and gloom, the psalm doesn't end with the world of Psalm 1 falling apart. The psalm ends with trust that the map of Psalm 1 is true. That's why in the midst of utter desolation, the psalmist proclaims their expected hope. He writes in Psalm 13, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation." The psalmist is in agony, yet holding on to trust that the Lord's salvation will come through. Psalm 1 sets the map for how the world should work, and the rest of the psalms show us how to pray in the light of that. That's one of the reasons the righteous meditate on God's law. We learn how to pray when life hits the fan. So Psalm 1 says that we are to meditate on God's law. But this needs a bit of explanation. Meditating on God's law isn't simply about memorizing a bunch of rules. When we read about meditating in the law of the Lord, it is where God speaks, directs to a person's consciousness. So when we are living in the middle of a lament psalm, when things aren't going well on the path of righteousness, we're invited to keep meditating on the will of God, the truths of God, the laws of God, and the pathway of God. The word meditate means muttering. It's used elsewhere in Scripture to describe a dove cooing or a lion roaring. So when we are told to meditate on the law of God, we are to mutter the words of Scripture and rehearse them until the words are imprinted on our own very souls. Sometimes our meditation on the word will be peaceful, like a dove cooing. This is the way Psalm 23 is meant to be read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. But sometimes when we meditate on the word, we will do so like a roaring lion, as when Jesus roared Psalm 22 from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He roared that the world is not as it should be. The wicked are prepared, are prospering, and the righteous are withering. But Psalm 22 roars an ultimate trust that the world of Psalm 1 will take the day. God listened to the cry of Jesus, the afflicted one, and raised him from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus is God's promise to us that the world of Psalm 1 is the ultimate reality. One day all things will be made new, the dead will be raised, and the righteous will flourish forever. Jesus is the first fruit. He has paved the way for the rest of us. Through Jesus, we trust that we shall see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Amen.